Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, November 10th, 2017. Former Army Chief of Staff Paul Malong is still under house arrest, but may be released soon.
He said that I've been in the meeting with the elders, and they conveyed a message to me that I've been released, but tomorrow they are going back to meet the president. Then they will finalize the issue of my release. Yeah, that is what he told me yesterday evening.
And President Kiir orders the lifting of all unnecessary roadblocks to aid workers across South Sudan.
So the decree is to eliminate all the checkpoints in the country. Unless they are for security reasons, there will be no any other checkpoint that is levying money.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Based on information provided by Lucy Ayuk, the wife of former Army Chief General Paul Malong, VOA reported yesterday that Malong had been released from house arrest. Today, Information Minister Michael McQuay repudiated that report.
Well, these media reports are not true. He's not released.
He is in his house.
For her part, Lucy Ayuk has walked back her statement. She tells me that her husband is in Juba and is closer to finalizing plans to organize his release.
He's in Juba right now, in residence.
Yesterday, we received reports from you that he had been released.
Yesterday, in the evening, I saw people posting that General Malong has been released. Then I tried to call someone. Then the guy said that, yes, he has been released, and he just connected me to him. And I said that, hello, how are you? He said, I'm fine. I said, what about the news I'm hearing? He said that I've been in the meeting with the elders, and they conveyed a message to me that I've been released. But tomorrow they are going back to meet the president. Then they will finalize the issue of my release. Yeah, that is what he told me yesterday evening. But this morning I couldn't be able to talk to him until now. Now it's around 6 here in Nairobi, but I couldn't connect to him since morning. I've been calling that person who has connected me yesterday to him, but he couldn't pick up my call.
Did you speak with General Paul Malong directly yesterday?
Yesterday, I spoke to him directly. There is someone who connected me to him. I spoke to him directly. He told me that the elders has conveyed to him the message that he has been released. Then I say that, okay, what next? Did they give you an official letter? They said no. Tomorrow morning, they are going back to meet with president so that they can finalize the issue of my release.
So just to be clear, the president has agreed. I see. So just to be clear, the president has agreed to release him, but he has yet to release Paul Malong. So Paul Malong is still under house arrest. Is that correct?
Yes, he's still under house arrest. It was the information being conveyed to him verbally. It wasn't written. When the elders came to him and they were having a meeting, then the elders conveyed to him that information that the president has released him. And tomorrow we are going back to meet him to finalize the issue of release.
And when is that meeting scheduled to finalize his release?
According to yesterday, he said that the meeting is supposed to be today at around 11. But as I told you that I haven't got anyone to tell me more about it again since morning until now. I haven't got any information.
Did he speak to you about the terms of his release?
He didn't speak to me about the terms of his release because I've asked him, but are you going to your home area? Will he said no. They told me that they are going to release me under medical health condition. That I have to travel to East Africa. I go for medical checkup. But for now, I'm not allowed to go to my home area of Awil.
Voice of America reported yesterday that General Paul Malong has been released, and we quoted you directly. Just for clarification, could you tell us where the confusion came from as to his release?
Because the information was conveyed to him by the elders. We believe in the elders' word. Because these are big people, they cannot lie to us. That's why I'm telling you that we got it verbally. It wasn't a written document. But they promised that they are going to meet president today so that they can finalize the issue.
I see. So as of yesterday, his release was still pending a meeting that was scheduled for 11 a.m. local time today.
You know, when you are told something verbally, Even me yesterday, I wasn't that much excited because there was no written document. You can't be put under house arrest. Your house is surrounded with this big tank, this heavy artillery, and all of a sudden, then you hear that you have been released, just like that. I'm still waiting for that official letter so that I can be much sure of his release. But until now, the tanks are not being withdrawn. I think it's not been released.
That was Lucy Ayak, wife of General Paul Malong, the former Army Chief of Staff. Ayak spoke to me earlier today from Nairobi. President Salva Kiir has ordered security forces and local leaders to remove all roadblocks and allowed aid workers access to needy people across the country. The head of South Sudan's NGO Forum says free access is crucial to saving the lives of hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
President Kiir issued four decrees that were read out on national television last night. Presidential spokesperson Atenyue Kateng says unhindered access and free movement of humanitarian workers is at the top of the list.
When the humanitarian convoy sets on their way to those places that are supposed to access the humanitarian help, they found a lot of barriers on the roads. We are levying money illicitly. So the decree is to eliminate all the checkpoints in the country. Unless they are for security reasons, there will be no any other checkpoint that is levying money.
Ateng says officers at checkpoints have been illegally taxing humanitarian convoys traveling roads that lead to populations in need.
The humanitarian workers have been complaining about money being levied at those checkpoints. To the extent that it goes to more than 400,000 for a truck loaded here with humanitarian assistance to reach places like the states of Greater Barazan.
Ateng says the money taken from humanitarian workers goes straight into the pockets of individuals, not state coffers. He says ending roadblocks goes into effect immediately and violators will be punished.
If you pay that huge money, then the government is losing twice. It's losing the money because the money are not coming back to the coffers. And also is losing the fact that humanitarian organizations are supposed to be accorded a cooperation. Since this humanitarian access is a humanitarian convoy are meant to assist our people.
Pius Ujara, who heads the South Sudan NGO Forum, which coordinates the activities of more than 300 international and local non-governmental organizations, praised the decree.
It demonstrates the goodwill to support the work of humanitarians across the country so that the population in need are actually reached and are able to be provided with services, including life-saving interventions.
Ujara says he hopes the decree will improve humanitarian access across South Sudan.
That this opening of access to places will be sustained over a long time so that people in need, the support to people in need actually continues.
Ateng says another decree announced yesterday establishes a coordination office to oversee activities related to the International Conference on the Great Lakes region, while another extends a state of emergency in Wau, Tony, Gogorial, and Awil East states for an additional 3 months. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
The United Nations Mine Action Service, or UNMAS, in South Sudan says in a recent report at least 6 million people across the country are at risk of being exposed to landmines and other explosive remnants of war. An UNMAS official is calling on the warring parties to restore peace so UNMAS can clear explosives from contaminated areas. Michael Atit has this report for VOA from Juba.
Tim Ladner, the UNMAS program officer in South Sudan, says decades of conflict have left some 90 million square meters of land contaminated by explosive hazards, most of which is in the Upper Nile and Equatorial regions. Ladner says explosive remnants of war prevent the movement of citizens, including those forced to flee ongoing fighting.
The conflict has been continuing, has been ongoing in various parts of the country, and that fighting leaves unexploded ordnance, it leaves abandoned ordnance, it leaves lots and lots of items that can be picked up by kids, that can be picked up by grown-ups, that cause damage to them, will cause serious injury and death.
Out of South Sudan's estimated population of 12 million, Ladner says about half live in or around explosive hazards.
2 million of those are outside of the country, have left the country as refugees. There are 2 million internally displaced in the country, but that still leaves a significant number of people in their home communities. We believe that there are 6 million people living in this country that are living in communities that are affected by landmines and by UXOs.
Since 2004, Ladner says his agency recorded nearly 5,000 casualties of landmines and other exploded ordnance. He says, so far for this year, he has recorded 40 casualties. Ladner says the highest number of the casualties occurred in an incident in Kodok of former Upper Nile State last May.
There were 6 children under the age of 12 who had been killed in one incident. So one of the kids had picked up what looked to them to be a large bullet. They'd been playing with it. This thing had exploded and killed 6 kids in one incident.
UNMAS chief says his agency has cleared more than 28,000 kilometers of road across the country since 2004 to ease the delivery of humanitarian and allow the communities access to service and markets. Ladner says if the government and rebels stop fighting, UNMAS can clear landmines and ensure the safe movement of civilians.
We cannot operate safely in an environment where there is ongoing conflict. So we are working at the moment in this country, but there are so many areas that we can't get to. There are so many areas that, you know, are being contaminated further and further, so increasing the volume of contamination in this country.
Once the fighting is stopped, Ladner says, children can go back to school, hospital can reopen, and farmers can go back to planting their crops. The UNMAS chief reminds communities to avoid making physical contact with suspicious objects that seems to be remnants of war and to report any suspicious objects to the authorities as soon as they encounter them. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Land disputes lead to lawmakers calling to revoke a mayor's sale of land to government officials. Find out where when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
have you ever bribed someone to get something? Why or why not?
No, I have not bribed someone before. And the reason is, I didn't want to push somebody to the wall to get something. The best thing is you have to do the right thing. So I have never bribed somebody in terms of getting something from the person, no.
Have I given bribe? Yes. Why did I give bribe? Because the system is wrong. Do I want to give bribe? No. Would I be able to get what I wanted if I didn't give him that money? No, I wouldn't have. So in a sense, I believe that bribery and corruption is not necessarily a personal desire. It's a systemic problem.
Personally, I don't think I've ever, but someone has done it for me, yeah, to get something I wanted. But personally, I have never bribed someone to get something.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. A civil society leader from South Sudan says IGAD's scorecard in South Sudan is not good. The executive director of Assistance Mission for Africa, Reverend James Ninru, says the regional bloc IGAD failed to condemn the violators of the 2015 peace deal after the 2016 fighting in Juba.
I don't think that they are genuinely looking for peace, because we have proved we have this agreement that was signed, and Riek Machar was pushed to go to South Sudan. Salva Kiir came with his reservation. All this, they know all this, but they said, you just go in. And again, there was no protection given. Whoever violated the peace should get punishment or something like that. So there was no string attached to the agreement. It was left free for the parties to meddle with it.
And tell us a little bit about how the civil society is trying to bring the warring parties back to track, back on the track, rather.
I think what we are doing now, we are pushing that IGAD, if IGAD is still holding the file of South Sudan, that should be the last chance, because we have seen IGAD for the last 4 years is moving nowhere. So we are looking that IGAD should be pressurized to get into real business, not just going around the bush, beating around the bush. So we are encouraging that this round of talk should be very inclusive. Even the national dialogue that the government is calling for, if it is to address anything, it should be very inclusive and everybody should have the voice. The civil society are doing their homework in trying to ask the Southern Sudanese on what they want. For example, there's a campaign going on which is about the South Sudan we want. In that campaign, we are trying to bring the voice of the people in the street, in their home state, in their villages, to say what South Sudan they want, in opposed to the South Sudan that our people, the warring parties, want.
You're making a very strong case that IGAD is to blame for the lack of implementation of peace in South Sudan. There is the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission on the ground, headed by former Botswanan President Festus Mohai, and they have been monitoring the peace agreement. Do you still believe IGAD is not doing the job that they ought to do?
I think IGAD is not doing the job that they should do. President Mohai, in his presence in South Sudan, is just a reporter, just like you. He's just monitoring and reporting. And those reports are not getting their way. And those reports are not action-oriented because nobody is taking action based on the report they give. So what is the use of Mohai sitting in South Sudan? Anybody can do that work. Any BBC reporter, ABC, Voice of America reporter can do that.
And so you're telling me that the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission is not needed there? I mean, can you explain more? Because he has been there for a long time and he has been briefing the Security Council, the African Union, IGAD, on the issues in South Sudan.
I think we have so many bodies that could brief anybody. The UNMISS is doing what? What they are doing, exactly what IGAD is doing, what this monitoring evaluation team is doing, is just collecting information, bringing them. So this is just duplication of service. If the resident Security Council person on ground, which is attached to UNMISS, doing the same, and Mohai is doing the same, so what is it? It's just reporting, and this report has been coming. The civil society are petitioning, bringing papers after papers. So I think this is a creation of a job.
That's Reverend James Ninru, the Executive Director for Assistance Mission for Africa. Ninru is also the co-coordinator for the Transitional Justice Working Group. He is visiting Washington this week to raise awareness about the situation in South Sudan. Ninru was speaking to John Tanza in our studio here in Washington yesterday. Jonglei State lawmakers have told the Bor Municipality mayor to revoke a recent order in which he gave away public land to individuals. Mayor Peter Akim Ajeth sold a sizable piece of land to government officials in Bor's Block 6 suburb earlier this year, something lawmakers call illegal since the land is designated for public activities like sporting, holding rallies, and recreation. Dengai Deng has the story for VOA from Bor.
Mayor Ajeth divided the 210-meter by 180-meter piece of property into 6 plots and sold the land to government officials in March. Jonglei State Assembly lawmakers yesterday summoned Mayor Ajeth to explain his actions in a 3-hour session, but say the mayor did not provide a plausible explanation. George Makwe, chairperson of the Committee on Land and Physical Infrastructure at Jonglei Estate Legislative Assembly, says the assembly received a complaint from Block 6 residents saying the open space is being occupied.
They wrote the complaint to the assembly, and the assembly follow up some procedures. And the assembly find Honorable Mayor of Botown was the one responsible for the survey of the land. The assembly put some question on Mayor, and he did not provide enough evidence or strong evidence for the surveying of the land.
Makwe says Jonglei state politician must respect public properties, including land, and to ensure such property is used for the sole benefit of public.
That the open space, floor number 283 in Block 6, can even make something good for Jonglei state in future. And even I can move from Block 4 up to Block 6 so that I can make my spot there. My children can come there to play. I can go and conduct my rally because I'm a politician. So they are benefiting the public. Why do we want to own them? For what reason?
Paul Bol chairs Jonglei State Specialized Committee for Information. He says if the mayor revokes his earlier decision to give away land to individuals, Block 6 residents will have the right to use the land for public activities.
An open area within a block serves a lot of purposes. For example, can be served as a recreational for recreational activities. To build some facilities like a health facility, a church, a school, name them. A lot of things can be done. So it is a prerogative and it is a right of the residents to claim it. If it is given to them, they have to distribute among themselves.
But Ajeth told South Sudan in Focus that state lawmakers are interfering with his work.
I went to the parliament and I told them that this one was done by the government, which is the executive, which I'm part of. I convened them when I was there. I thought that I defeated them. There are a lot of things that we're supposed to be talking about, the parliament should be talking about. There are a lot of things, whether in the town or in Jonglei Estate, things related to security, things related to hygiene and sanitation, things related to boat incident. There are a lot of issues that people are supposed to be talking about.
Mayor Ajeth insists that the government decides what to do with open spaces, not the resident.
The reserve land is reserved by the government, by the Ministry of Physical Infrastructure and the Third Consent, and they know what purpose is that land reserved for. They are the one that have that information. It's not the parliament. It's not the resident. So whenever you see the empty place in the town, don't just assume that it is there for schools or to be used as a playground for children. No.
Block 6 resident Manyongong says he is happy the assembly has resolved the move to sell public land to government officials should be revoked.
I'm happy to the parliament because this one is allowed the public to have the free service. So I'm agree for the parliamentary MPs because this land must be open to set up the school and plus hospital also and the playing ground also.
Ngong urges the Jonglei State Assembly to continue monitoring public properties. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
Kenyan opposition figure Raila Odinga is in the United States talking to U.S. lawmakers about the way forward after he withdrew from the rerun of Kenya's presidential election last month. Speaking to the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, Odinga says his party is demanding electoral reforms in Kenya shortly after calling for an interim government to be formed to guide Kenya to new elections.
Kenyans know that the decades-long struggle for justice and our grand new constitutional order was waged and won peacefully. That is why NASA's leadership is centered on a campaign of peaceful resistance to unlawfully constituted authority. We have convened a People's Assembly to guide the country to a fresh, free, and fair presidential election as decreed by the Supreme Court.
Odinga warned of the consequences of a divided Kenya, saying he worries the country might disintegrate.
And the biggest problem in Kenya right now is exclusion. Exclusion is a bigger issue. And when you see people begin to talk about secession or wanting out of Project Kenya, it basically tells you that something is seriously wrong with Kenya that must be addressed. and before the country tears apart.
Odinga did not address the U.S. Congress while in Washington, as he is not a head of state. He is expected to meet with supporters here in Washington and in New York before returning to Kenya this weekend. And that's our show for this Friday. We leave you with the song Fanny Encore by Sergio Polo.
Encore et toujours Fanny, la femme la plus demandée, Sergio chante, écoutez. La Élysée, la Coladera, la Opéra, la clé. La routine va la bonne pour Nandine encore un nez, nos familles. Et t'as mis pas vraiment bédé, pas vraiment yoloé. Coco bien colo yugo, yéné rimino et à maman. Afani au mende, ouais, bagina dans la mélo, qu'elle va la jolie.
We've been listening to Fanny Encore by Sergio Polo. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for being here. We'd like to hear what you think about the show. You can reach us on the web at southsudan@voanews.com or check us out on Facebook at South Sudan in Focus. Have a peaceful weekend and join us on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.